This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Well, it turns out Senator John McCain won't be vacationing in Siberia this spring. Speaker of the House John Boehner's ruble-denominated assets, if he has any, are now pretty much worthless, and neither of them seem to care all that much. The sanctions were flying fast and furious between Moscow and Washington today. Boehner, McCain, and seven others in the White House and in Congress were on the Russians list. President Obama has his own expanded list. Cronies, the White House said, of President Putin's have been sanctioned. Marketplace's David Gura is in Washington and on this story for us. Hey, David.
Hey, Kai.
Senator McCain and Speaker Boehner and all the others on this list are sort of making light of the whole thing. It's there's a little bit of tiptoeing around the edges going on here, right?
Yeah, tiptoeing via Twitter, if that's possible. That seems to be where it's all playing out, at least on the American side. But, you know, John McCain had some fun with this when he found out the Russians weren't interested in having him visit anytime soon. And the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Robert Menendez, did the same also on Twitter. So, you know, when it comes to sanctions, the U.S. doesn't seem to be casting a very wide net. It's targeting this. This list today has just about 20 names on it. And so, you know, the Obama administration is going after individuals, hoping that something's going to happen. And I think the Russians are trying to poke back as much as they can.
I wonder if what's going on here is something that we talked about 2 weeks ago in our Cold War special. The idea that what we have here 20 years after the Berlin Wall fell is this idea of mutually assured economic destruction, that we're all so intertwined now. The Russian economy is so much bigger and we're all so dependent that nobody really wants to do the really serious stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, economic sanctions are certainly not the only weapon that the U.S. has at its disposal, of course, or that U.S. allies have at their disposal either. But, you know, at least for the time being, it seems that sanctions are the weapon that we've decided to use to fight this. And I was talking with a guy today named Victor Comrys. He's a lawyer who works on sanctions related issues and used to work in government. And he said that with Russia, as you're saying, you have to tread very carefully. And the reason for that is that, you know, that economy is so big and, as you said, so intertwined with economies around the world.
It's going to be very hard to find that sector of the Russian economy that's not going to have an impact also on its trading partners in Western Europe, in Asia, and around the world.
So, you know, that leaves the U.S. targeting these sanctions very narrowly, aiming almost exclusively here at what's really just a small group of President Putin's pals.
If they wanted to, not that they will, but if they wanted to, what might the White House be able to do that would really get the Russians' attention? Anything?
Well, you know, the administration could go after more banks. And on this list today, as I said, there are 20 individuals and one entity, and that's a bank. And that could have a wider effect. That casts a wider effect. It's less symbolic. Somebody told me today that the U.S. could create disincentives for investment in Crimea. But again, that'd be easier said than done. I talked to Simeon Kreisberg. He's another lawyer who specializes in sanctions. And we were talking about sort of what the best case might be here. If you look at this list, and it's not a very long list, but if you're a big business or maybe you work with Russian businesses or you work with folks who are sort of in that sphere of political figures in Russia, businessmen, businesswomen in Russia, you know, this list might give you some pause.
It has a chilling effect on commercial relationships that extend well beyond the specific targets that are announced.
So, you know, some of that symbolism would sort of erode a little bit. And, you know, Kreisberg told me that sanctions are the most effective, Kai, when it's not just one country imposing them. You know, it's when they're imposed multilaterally. That is, so when you can get other countries on board sort of backing the sanctions that you've made.
Which gets us to the Europeans, right? And one wonders whether the ball is next in their court, Chancellor Merkel and all the rest of them.
Yeah, and she's talking about this. I'd imagine that debate's going to continue just as it's going to continue here. But, you know, even just with pure geography, they're closer to all of this and what's happening there. And when you look at economic ties, I suppose you could argue that they feel a little more real for them there when they're depending on what's really just, you know, their neighbor for commodities and supplies.
David Gura in Washington on the sanctions story. More to come, I'm sure. David, thanks a bunch.
Thanks, Kai.